Hello and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Transformers Rescue Bots Academy podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm David. I've returned from Toronto, and next year I will abduct my co-hosts so they get there, finally, to TFCon, maybe.
Find me a cat sitter. But, yeah, I'm planning to.
Mm.
Fingers crossed.
There won't be a World Cup going on this
time. Cats can handle each other for, like, 4 days. Yeah. The World Cup really didn't interfere that much with the convention?
Yeah, I guess they'd be mostly done, I think, by then.
Yeah, it was basically done. There was signs that it happened, and there were more foreigners than I would expect wandering around the city, but other than that, eh. Like, I heard Italian and French accents. Well, okay, French accents make sense, but, like, the Italian and Spanish, there was just more of that. Especially at the aquarium.
Mm. All right, and today we are once again journeying into the confines of Rescue Bots Academy for our crash course, episode by episode.
Yay!
And first off today, the 29th episode of Season 2, the 81st episode overall, How to Train Your Scraplet.
Yay!
Wait, has anyone seen How to Train Your Dragon?
I mean, for the like, joke to work? The first one, probably in the theater. Not recently.
Did I see the first one? I think I've seen part of the first one. I was like, eh, it exists.
Also, I apologize if my mic is picking up the sound of cat toys in the background. But that's what that is. Mary Shelley has a ball on a track that she is very excited by right this moment. Hotshot, World Hoist, Medics, and Wedge. Their teamwork together will give them the edge. Rescue Bots Academy.
All right, and this is written by Nathan Cockrell, last seen in these parts, writing Fundroids, the one where they end up in, like, the weird...
That one was scary.
...theme park run by, like, Westworld robots.
Oh, yeah.
That one was distressing.
Yes. So it is time for the gang to have another mystery lesson from Boulder.
Which, I forgot that was a thing?
Yeah, so World's excited. Hotshot is pretty sure they're all going to die, which is why he's brought the Lucky Ducky.
Yay, yes, it's the return of the ducky.
And then Boulder's all, hey, what do you guys think about scraplets? And, you know,
like, no.
So Hotshot was correct to be concerned.
Yes. The flesh-eating monsters? Not a big fan.
Yeah. Toothy things that live to destroy us? Mm-hmm. Not so much.
So his plan, which I assume he arrived at by watching that movie Jurassic World with Whirl, is that they are going to train scraplets to work with us.
Which, I sure... Yeah, not... it's such a weird plan on its own. But, like, having the kiddos be the ones interacting with these cannibalistic things that you're trying to turn into pets. What?
Yeah, that's the thing. It would be one thing if the owl rescue bots were doing this, but they're like, hey, children, go play with the, the man-eating predators.
Yeah!
Go play with the flesh-eating, like, piranha things on legs.
I mean, the original crew was kind of young, but these are literally children.
Yes. So Hotshot somehow is the most sensible one here in that he runs away and finds himself a wooden box.
Mary, come on.
Which may or may not stop them.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, even though they don't eat it, I assume they could still bite through the wood.
Yeah.
I guess that depends on how motivated they're feeling.
Yes. Maybe it's like lead and they like can't sense him through the wood.
Ooh, maybe.
So right away, it's not going well. They've got like Energon biscuits to use as rewards, and then Boulder just leaves.
Yeah, at least they are in like force field cage things, and they're trying to teach them basic like tricks you'd teach a pet.
So, as a reminder, the Scraplets in this universe, in the modern stuff, are extremely cute.
Yes.
They have great big eyes and little scuttly legs, and they're adorable. And also, each one of these is a distinct model.
Yes. Yeah, they're distinct color and
so each one of these things has a distinct appearance.
Yeah. But they're still, like, their basic shape is descended from the Mechaniballs bloodline looking.
Yes.
It's like they're...
But adorable.
They're an untrustworthy shape.
That's fair.
And they get names.
Yes.
Yeah, like Giggles, Squeaker, Boing Boing, Chomp Chomp in the Claw, or some. I don't know. I only sort of half paid attention to the names.
It's Snappy, Giggles, Basher, Squeaker, and then Hotshot doesn't name his.
Aw, Hotshot. Well,
the one that just keeps bouncing up and down, so that one I called Boing Boing.
So they're trying to get them to play fetch. They're trying to, you know, they mostly end up fleeing for their lives and having to toss these biscuits into the cages.
Yes.
Well, yeah, because, like, who is it? Medics accidentally lets them out, and that doesn't go horribly instantly, so they let the rest of them out. And it sort of kind of works for a little bit. They're not being devoured alive, but yeah, they... Eventually, the Scraplets are like, okay, let's try to eat them. And they run away.
They needed, like, a Muldoon type here to tell everybody this is a bad idea.
Yeah, they did. Like, I don't know, Blades or somebody.
Shoot her! Shoot her! But
I mean, it is weird that, like, we've gone from Scraplets previously in the Aligned continuity to these, from these murderous, like, biological weapons that must be stopped. It's hard to kill them, but you could stop them by freezing them or whatever.
Yes.
To now we're turning them into household pets.
I mean, they're still terrifying.
Like, it does feel like a very Transformers... Yeah, they're still terrifying. It's just weird they've gone from, like, pure horror to comedy sidekick thing. They're critters. They've gone from, like, Jaws to critters.
Yes. They probably can do that thing where they, like, roll up into a giant ball.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, honestly, that's kind of a thing I expected, like, previous Scraplets episodes would go more into, like, critters territory.
I do appreciate
I think only the first Prime episode really did that.
I do appreciate that Medics is the one who is first to be like, yeah, let's do this. I'm sure this will work, because as we have learned, Medics is willing to just, like, adopt small creatures that he should probably not be touching.
Yes. He's done it with a bat, and what else has he tried to convert to pet mode? There was something else.
Anyway, and it is Medics who discovers that it is possible to tame these savage beasts, because he steps on the duck and finds out that they can be controlled, or at least commanded, via squeaking.
Yay! You have to speak their language.
And then they communicate in high-pitched duck squeaks. Sure.
Meanwhile, it is time to go from low peril to extremely high peril. Because somebody, for some reason, has put Sludge and Snarl in charge of, like, an extremely volatile power plant, Cybertron, and it's about to explode.
It might help to have thumbs doing all this.
Yeah, because we've never seen them transform. Presumably, they might have alt modes.
This is going to be some...
Maybe.
And they must, but I don't know that we ever see them do so.
No.
This is going to be Chernobyl here. This is... Why did they do this?
It is entertaining, like, how comedically bad they are at this.
Why are they even on Cybertron? They weren't previously.
Yeah, they were there. They're assigned to watch a thing, and then they call the rescue... Kiddos, could you help us put out this emergency we've acquired?
We know some children
It'll be educational.
Emergencies. Just transform, use your thumbs.
It's a real Homer Simpson situation.
It really is.
It is a great setup that the Dinobots just call for help. They're trying to make it educational. It's like, oh, we done fucked up. Who can we call?
And then Hoist is sort of trying to tell him how to fix it, and then it doesn't work.
Yeah.
But the good, you know, there's a vent that unfortunately have not been described. They've not been designed with John McClane in mind, and so they can't get through them.
Yeah.
But it turns out these scraplets are. So good thing that Medics has rigged up a ductophone.
he's got a megaphone. It's got ducks on it.
So he's able to use this.
When the kiddos arrive, they're all of them except for Hoist in their new alt modes.
Of course,
you got to try them out. Got to get practice.
Yeah,
I'd say they got to sell those toys, but I'm not sure they actually made those toys.
Man.
Yeah, sell those toys that mostly don't exist.
It's so weird when that happens. Like the entire
one or two of them
2019
do.
Micronauts show.
Well, Hot Shots exists, and I think one other one did.
Just when stuff happens to sell toys that don't actually exist, it's weird. Mm. It's liminal space kind of stuff. Yes. I don't like it. Makes me uncomfortable.
I like that Sludge and Snarl have the exchange where they're like, well, it's been nice knowing you, Snarl. Yeah, it probably has.
They're good for comedy. They're very...
Yes.
Like old sitcom.
Yes. They're not good for running a power plant, but they're good for comedy.
Hmm.
So the scraplets are able to save the day here. You know, maybe it turns out that robot and scraplet can coexist. Although Hotshot is not so good at making them do tricks.
Yeah, no.
They're such cute little beans. They're just little spiky pals. I love them. I love the scraplets.
They're kind of adorable. They're just still frightening.
They
do seem like what you would call in the cat rescue community bunch of spicy beans.
Yes! They're spicy little beans.
Yes.
And they're all bitey. I bet they hiss at you if you try to pet them.
Oh.
And that now brings us to episode 2 in our double bill, Helicopter Heroes. Much better than Helicopter Parents.
Maybe.
This is the 30th episode of the season, the 82nd episode overall, written by Danny Stack. Last seen in these parts, writing 5 little rescue bots.
Okay.
The one in which they're disappearing mysteriously.
Yay, disappearing.
So this one we are really dealing with those new alt modes.
Yes, well, one new alt mode, mostly.
One new alt mode. We're really selling one toy in particular, which we're not sure is even going to... what's even made.
Yeah, I don't... Why? I don't think...
How? Who tells them to do this and then doesn't follow through on their end of it?
Hmm.
I mean, I guess, again, whoever greenlit an entire, certainly multi-$1 million Micronauts series and threw it in a closet somewhere.
We'll go back to that at some point again. Watch more. It's so good.
We will.
It's weird. It's weird when things are obviously to sell toys that don't get made.
Yeah.
So we are in the danger room. Tough luck Chuck is about to plummet to his death whilst washing some windows.
Oh no!
So normally this is where Whirl would rescue him, but it turns out that there's now another flyer on the team, not just Hotshot when he remembers that he can fly.
I don't know if you'd want him using that mode to try to rescue somebody on the side of a building.
Yeah,
he lacks precision.
Hmm.
So Medics also now a helicopter, and indeed Whirl is not, her rescue attempt fails here. He ends up seemingly falling to his death, but it's now Medics who is able to save him by trying a different tack.
Well, they're kind of like almost accidentally, because he's circling around the building the other way and it just happens to be low enough to catch him.
So that Whirl is just, she's just sad. She's depressed. She's no longer the only helicopter. And she thinks that Medics is better at being a helicopter than she is.
Even though he's definitely not.
No.
You gave these little kiddo robots depression. What the hell?
You took perfectly good child robots and gave them anxiety.
Yeah.
And she's convinced that, like, Whirl thinks that he's the best and he doesn't like her anymore.
Hmm.
Now we've got to get to a fire. It is in Crooks Canyon.
Which feels like a real place name. More than we usually get. It does, but
I couldn't find a real Crooks Canyon.
Okay. I didn't even bother looking. It just, like, it feels like somewhere in the Midwest has got to have a place called Crooks Canyon. Mm. Or maybe an old Western has that.
Yes. So Whirl is going to, she'll assess the situation from the air. But Maddox is chosen by Blades instead, so this was more sensory to a depressive
spiral. Yeah, she gets benched and she's sad. It's weird to see, like, a depressive episode of a little robot in this show.
I mean...
especially the one who's usually the cheering one.
Yeah.
It's... But, like, obviously, Maddox needs the practice, is why he's getting to do this stuff. Like, it's obviously not because he's better, it's because she is better, and he needs the practice, but...
Yes.
It's just, nobody explain that to her.
Poor baby kid, have an insecurity.
The obvious thing, it's like, Maddox needs more training, so Whirl, you get to help him from the sidelines.
Transformers is just taking a perfectly good helicopter and giving it anxiety.
Yes. I mean, typically, as Jen is watching Lower Decks recently, she is the attendee of the group.
Yes, that is accurate.
Is there a Transformer helicopter that does not have anxiety?
Blades? Blades, like, Protect Bot is mostly, like, too busy murdering people to have anxiety.
Yeah, he's pretty fighty.
He's a little too dumb, but aside from him...
I don't know that Alpha Bravo is ever noted as particularly anxious.
No, Alpha Bravo has issues because he's a replacement.
Well, okay, so yeah, there's that insecurity.
Like, he can lose his job at any minute.
How about Springer?
Yeah, he's...
Okay,
Springer.
Yeah, he's full of bravado, which could be fake bravado, but...
The UK comic did sometimes give him anxiety. Hmm. But that was, you know, because, like, his leader got murdered and brought back as a zombie and that kind of stuff. It does seem like... Because this episode had me thinking that being a helicopter does seem like an advanced level alt mode.
Yeah.
Because helicopters are not easy to fly, and it isn't, like, because of physics, they're difficult to fly. So it just seems like being a helicopter is fundamentally difficult. It's a difficult way to live. So maybe that's why they get anxiety, because just... Yeah. Moving in their alt mode, it requires a lot of focus, and the stakes are very high. And you can't just be a car and go drive around and be like, doo-doo. You have to actually put thought into it. And it's a fundamental part of who you are. So what I'm saying is it is entirely fair for helicopters to have anxiety.
Well, it turns out that Maddox is right to have... It turns out that it's Maddox who should have anxiety here, because Whirl goes to help as there's a second fire, but he's not quite used to being in a helicopter yet, so he just, like, smacks into her. They're both, you know, plummeting to their deaths, and he can't transform.
Hmm.
Again, because it's hard to be... It's hard to exist as a helicopter.
Yeah. And it doesn't seem like this is, like, an anxiety thing. It's that he... Like, he literally gets a little busted here and he can't transform.
Well, yes, but yeah. I'm just saying that being a helicopter is difficult.
Yeah. So he does indeed get fixed, and he's just, you know, he's thinking, you know, I'll never be as good as Whirl, because she's a natural-born helicopter, and I was just a guy who decided to become a helicopter.
Yeah. You poser.
And then they end up talking each other in circles of self-doubt.
Mm-hmm.
While in a canyon, while everyone else is on fire. It's a lot of emotional trauma for an episode of Rescue Bots Academy.
Yes. So Whirl does indeed talk Maddox into just giving him that confidence boost, getting him back into action. And so they do the water bomber thing. Sort of along the lines of Blades, of course, beloved Scoop Claw.
Yes.
Yes.
Good old Scoop Claw. even if it gives him a gut.
Oh, but then Whirl is in trouble, and Maddox is going to have to go solo, which he does successfully, and then it turns out that she was just faking.
She was lying. She was faking her bucket being stuck on something under the water, but she was she was lying. Lying. Yes.
It's okay to sometimes lie to your friends.
Is it, though? Is it?
I mean, will it teach them an important lesson? Then maybe it is. Yeah. All right, so that is it for us for Rescue Bots this week. A pair of, pair of pretty good episodes.
Oh, wow, is this our shortest episode ever?
It is pretty short. There was not a ton to talk to, about this time.
Not really. I mean, they're both good episodes, but yeah, they do one thing, they do it well, they do it quickly. We could have dug more into scraplets, but like...
Yes.
They're just scraplets.
And we've seen a lot of scraplets in the past.
Yeah, it's like the fourth time in the aligned continuity, I think?
Yeah.
Fifth?
Like it? Yeah, well, and plus outside the aligned continuity, we had them in Cyberverse.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's why I'm adding an extra one.
We had them a few times in Prime. We had them... I don't think we ever had them in Robots in Disguise offhand.
No.
But they're very much becoming a go-to thing.
Yeah. Which is neat. I'm still annoyed that they have, like, a default form and they're not, like, all nuts and bolts and weird.
Yeah.
But at least the default form we get is interesting.
Yes.
I mean, it would be difficult in this kind of animation to have them all have unique forms, because then you have to pay someone to design all the different ones, and...
It'd be neat to have more of a variety, though. Like, give me, like, 5 or 6 base forms. Just paint them different colors.
But hey, next time we get an all-new character.
Yay! Uh-oh.
That's right.
We haven't had a lot of that in Academy.
No.
We have not. We had a little bit. You know, we had a fairly regular trickling of new characters into original Rescue Bots, but...
Well... Half the ones in original Rescue Bots were just guys from Robots in Disguise.
Well, but there was also, like, Blur and Salvage.
Yeah, and,
And High Tide. Big,
boat. Yes.
High Tide, Quick Shadow.
Yeah. Hmm.
Plus, you know, a regular rotation of, like, weird guest stars and,
yeah.
You know, sinister villains.
Oh, yeah, we don't really get guest stars in this show.
No, we do not.
No, they could not afford guest stars.
Well, because of the budget, mostly, but also...
Nope. We spent all that money on Microsoft.
Yeah, apparently. Like, I genuinely believe that considering that was being made at the same time as this and Cyberverse, where they were actively making production funding cuts, and that show was, like, had a union cast, and it's crazy. Yeah. They need to put it on that Hasbro Legends channel.
Yes. They do. Oh, imagine
which was showing
if, like,
Gem all day.
Imagine if Micronauts had actually aired, and then we got another season of Rescue Bots, and we had a crossover movie.
That would be so good.
Well, TV movie.
Everybody could be friends.
Yeah.
Have Cameron and Cody hang out. I'm gonna go write some fanfic now. Age-appropriate fanfic. Thank you.
Yes. Age-appropriate, of course. Of course, they're both. Everybody's a minor here.
Minors.
That should do it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more exciting Rescue Bots action. And until then, you can find us all over the internet. We are on Mastodon, we are on Blue Sky, and we have a Patreon.
Yes, we are on patreon.com/IaconUnderground, where we do monthly episodes for subscribers to help with our hosting expenses. That is, again, patreon.com/IaconUnderground. For the month of July, because it hasn't happened yet, but we're eagerly awaiting a new Spider-Man movie. So we went all the way back to the 60s to watch a couple half-episode episodes. I guess it was one full episode of...
One full episode
of the old 60s Spider-Man cartoon. which was
Wallop and Webster,
which was wild. That was some wild stuff.
Yes. So please join me and the boys.
Yes. As we stand there and point at each other.
Yes.
We did watch two big meme episodes, so that was...
Yes, yeah. Which just happened to be in the same episode. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Well, I would just assume, like, somebody saw, like, that episode in isolation and was like, oh, this is funny, and created the memes.
It's like how, for years, Alt-Toys Transformers memes were entirely based on the fact that I had that one episode of Headmasters on VHS. Like, maybe somebody, like, on a Twitch stream watched that episode and everybody thought it was the best thing ever, and the meme sort of spread from there.
That was, of course, Life Could Be Sacrificed for Peace on Earth.
Which you can go see on YouTube. It's terrible. It's so dumb.
Of course it is.
I have read all of Generation Mechs now. And I think it's very important to have a record of how serious and important victory was to the Western fandom. Because everyone involved in all the fanzines and everything thought victory was just the most hardcore badass thing. And it is not. It is very silly. Yeah. But Spider-Man, I'm sure I mentioned on here at some point that my local theater had a fire back in January. But they are open up now, and they have confirmed that they will be showing Spider-Man. Possibly they're going to do some sort of tie-in thing with the comic shop down the street, so that's, I'm looking forward to getting back to there, because they opened back up with Toy Story 5 and The Devil Wears Prada 2, which were not things I was dying to go see. So, but I'm looking forward to getting back to that theater and seeing what they've done with the place after, you know. It wasn't like it didn't burn down, but it did enough damage that it took about 6 months to get everything back where it was. So yeah, I am looking forward to that. So go to our Patreon. As little as $1 a month, you get access to our monthly special episodes. Patreon.com/IaconUnderground.
All right. So until next time, we meet a new rescue bot for the first time in a long time. I'm Rob.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Dave. Oh, next week we're starting Gundam.
Yes, we're doing more Gundam.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yes,
that's right. My,
can't forget that.
Once again, my cat. The so I guess not next week, but the week after we'll see. We'll meet a new rescue bot, and then next week, get ready for my co-host to make me watch more Gundam.
This is some very straightforward Gundam, so it shouldn't be too hard.
Okay.
Yeah, this is it's war in the puck.
Yes.
Okay.
As announced at TFCon, it's what we're watching because it's short and it's good.
It is good. And this is like, that's my kind of Gundam. Like, that's exactly my favorite flavor of Gundam. So many gems, even though the dub calls them GMs.
Well, that's technically what they are. They're general mechanic. Wait, what is the general manufacturer? I forget what the GM actually stands for. Anyway.
It's something like that.
Goodbye.
Good night.
Gundam next week.
Gundam.
Well, that was a really short episode. So as a bonus filler, here is a clip from the TFCon Toronto podcaster panel, which was the last panel of the show, featuring me and many other people. You will have a link to the video on YouTube so you can watch the rest of it. But here's a chunk with me in bright green, if you look at the video, and other friends from other podcasts that just check out the video. There's too many to name. Bye.
Yeah.
So, any big toy finds that we got this year?
I got so many deals. Like, this was the year of getting deals on things. I got like a Commander Optimus, 86 Commander Optimus for like $110 because it was loose. I got a $20 DevCon. I got a $20 Devastation Optimus. I got a $30 animated Ratchet. I have this big pile of stuff and I can say it's all discounted.
Amazing.
There's been a running joke for the past 5 years, and I was able to finally break it. What I mean by that, I was finally able to get my Unicron, which has been my unicorn, right? So I was able to get it this year. So now that running joke is done officially. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Was it the one that was like up on a shelf? If you go in the dealer room, turn left. There was, I saw one like sitting in its box.
I know. No. It was against. Once you walk in, it's the Cybertronian. Is this Cyber? No, the Armada. What's it called? Figure Unicron.
Yeah. Oh, it was the Armada Unicron.
It's not the HasLab.
Okay.
Not the HasLab one. I can't afford that.
Were you traveling to after?
Yeah.
Decades ago, he missed out on a chance to get one cheap at a store. We've been hearing about it ever since. So now he has no reason to talk about it anymore.
Nice.
Well, finally put an end to that.
Hell yeah.
I mean, for myself, was finding a Defensor, which I haven't had in so many years, just a complete set of it. So, you know, just reliving that 1986 Christmas, whereas like now I have this figure again.
I watched him build it. It was adorable.
I don't mean to keep asking questions, but was it like loose or was it a gift set or?
It's a Japanese gift set.
Okay, that's super juicy. That kicks ass.
Cool. Did you ever get the gun for the Rodimus that I saw you with?
I didn't, but I found the G1 Rodimus. But he's missing the gun and I think the
blast shields.
But I mean, I don't think I had the blast shields 40 years ago, so I'm okay with not having them right
Nobody
now.
Nobody really needs them.
Yeah.
That's a Trump spot.
Yeah.
Right on. I mean, like I said, I was stuck most of the weekend, so I didn't do much, but I did get out during Friday night and I found a G1 squeeze play that I'd been missing from my G1 collection. So I picked that up at a parts party. And then today I went out and got Fireman, I guess they're calling him, the exclusive. So I picked that up. But other than that, I really didn't. I bought a piece of original art from Alex, part of his one of the original pieces out of his Hot Motor Oil book. So I bought an original out of that. So if you have the book, it's the Metroplex picture. I bought that.
That's a unique sound for the crowd to make.
There's a lot of horny people in the room.
It's all good. I saw the GoBots one next to the Unicron picture, the one with the Pathfinder. I'm like, hey.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, it's a cool picture. So I thought it was hilarious, so I bought it. Anyway. But yeah, no, I didn't buy a lot this weekend, and that was kind of by design. Yeah.
I actually did a lot of what you did because I don't like Canadian MSRP anymore. So I didn't even get like good deals. I just haggled lots of things to $5 off because it meant that they were no tax under MSRP.
Yeah. It feels like an accomplishment.
Now that feels like an accomplishment. Like two deluxes, one's 35, one's 30 in box. I'm like, hey, will you do 60 for both? They're like, yes. I'm like, yes! I got, like, what was it? A Voyager for $40. And I'm like, yeah! Yeah, because now they're like 50 in tax, right? But aside from that, the other main scores were the Funbee 3D printed Signal Lancer. That had been something I missed since, like, last year. And I'm very excited about that one. I did some Ultraman card game trading in the TCG room with a friend of mine. So just lots of little things. I was able to hit up Artist Alley. I actually got a Tarn bracelet for free. So I feel very cool about that. Lost Light loot, shout out. But that's about the gist of it for me.
Yeah, my big get for myself was I had to look it up because it's always the fun names, the Iron Factory War Giant Catastrophe set of five, so the, like, the Ruination color combiner. Yeah, that guy. That's good for one other person to see. And then for Alfie and her jazz collection, found so many, they're like from the G1 trading cards, things that had like, oh, jazz in the background of that one.
Get it for me.
Yes, dear. Just to continue on her giant collection of a single character.
Speaking of single characters, the first thing I found was a blokey acid storm, and then I found another acid storm. So half of the stuff I bought is acid storm, and most of the rest of it is green, and I'm still waiting on a commission for an acid storm that I decided here. It's like, yeah, I'm getting an acid storm.
Acid storm's
green,
strongest soldier.
Green here.
Is green your favorite color?
I guess it is this year. I don't know.
I picked up an Iron Factory, you know, the mini bots. I got a Huffer just because that gave me nostalgia from when I was a kid. Huffer was my first Transformer back in the 80s, so I love that guy. And I also got a Studio Series Kranix. So, you know, Kranix is not technically an Autobot or Decepticon or Cybertronian. He's from the planet Lithone, but... according to the Marvel Comics, he does have an alt mode, and they put that in that figure. And
surprisingly accurate.
Yes, yes.
And they gave him like a gun.
Yeah,
so gonna fight Unicron from the inside.
Yeah.
How would the movie have gone if Kranix had a gun?
We've been bugging him, but he had all this opportunity to buy some primes to complete the 13 primes, and he didn't. So.
I'm not doing that. I told you, I'm not doing that.
Am I stuck between my two dads again?
Yeah. We know he's going to do it eventually.
I
will
not
have all
13
primes.
No.
Did this power dynamic shift because you weren't able to go buy comics, and now we've got like it's actually on Charles?
Oh, I had comics this year.
Oh,
I did. Andrew Griffith is working on Power Rangers right now. And I bought some Power Ranger comics to support Andrew. Alex did a cover for Mega Man, and so I bought that. And Andrew also, you should know this, has been doing Magic the Gathering cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've been buying a bunch of those because I knew he was going to be here, so I bought a bunch of those. And plus, one of them is like amazing. Like Super Shredder is a really good card.
Yeah, I saw that one.
And so
yeah.
I have three of them now. They're like $46 a piece. It's a little expensive, but it's a good card, so I hope to use it. Anyway, I wanted to bring them to get them signed, so I brought a bunch of that stuff too. So
actually, quick shout out just to the Ultraman card game. If you're ever looking at the art for that game, they have pieces by EJ Sue and Nick Roche in that game. So if you want to see those two drawing Ultraman, which is way different from Transformers, it's kind of cool.
Very neat.